Good morning, church. Christ is risen. Amen. What a great day to celebrate everything God has done for us. And I don't know about you, I have very fond memories growing up Easter, because Easter meant a lot of things. It meant a lot of food, but also meant, I just woke up this morning, I was ironing my shirt, and I remembered as a kid, we always would get a new outfit for Easter. Anybody get a nice outfit for Easter? Yeah, or if you had it, it was there in your closet for probably months and months. You were not allowed to wear it until Easter morning, right? And you felt so nice, you know, coming to church with this new outfit, and you just beamed from joy. And for me, it was just, you know, I woke up, there was the memory that just came right into it. I just remember the ironing shirt, my nice outfit my mom gave me as a kid. And listen, Easter, I believe Easter is the most important celebration you can have. Resurrection. Without resurrection, listen, if resurrection wouldn't happen, we wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Nobody would have recorded Christmas. Nobody would. It wouldn't matter. The only reason it matters is because of resurrection. Amen. And it's one of those things that you get to stick it to the devil. You get to stick it to the defeat and the death and everybody. And it's, you get to gloat. And that's what I love about Resurrection Sunday. We get to gloat for everything Christ has done for us. So let's turn to Scripture this morning. The title of the message this morning is New Life. New life, and I'm going to read to you out of Luke chapter 24, one of my favorite accounts of the story of resurrection. It says, "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the man said, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. Remember how he has spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest." Jesus, we thank you for resurrection. We thank you, Jesus, for Easter morning. We thank you that we get to glory and celebrate and rejoice, God, in the goodness and power and the might of our God. And I pray, Father, as we immerse ourselves this morning again to the story of resurrection, I release life. I speak spirit of life. Resurrection power of Jesus may flow through this church, through our hearts, through our spirit, soul, and body. And I pray the resurrection power of Jesus, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, will bring life this morning. In Jesus' name, we agree with the word of life. Among deadness and defeat and death and failure that's so prevalent in the world, God, we declare life. We agree with life, God, and we're celebrating life this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the favorite phrase that probably that I find in the resurrection story is it's almost a little bit sarcastic. It's angels speaking to the women, and they're saying, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead?" No, they came as these women came in the morning. They you know, first day of the week, they were allowed to go back to the tomb. They brought spices. They came to visit the dead body of Jesus. They came to mourn. And something very drastic happened that morning, and angel says, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead?" And church, the message of the resurrection is the following. Resurrection is not something, it's not a visit to a cemetery. Okay? It's not a visit to some kind of mausoleum where you kind of remember, "Oh, this great man once lived and he did this great..." That's not what resurrection is about. Resurrection is totally in a different dimension. That's what angel is trying to communicate to these women. That, listen, you're in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. He's not among the dead. And church, as we get to celebrate the power of Christ's resurrection, I want you to remember and think of those, that mindset that we are not remembering this great life as if we just... somebody who lived and died. We're talking about a person who is alive. We're talking about a person who is with us. We're talking about a person who pulled off the greatest victory the whole humanity has ever seen or will ever see. Amen? Now see, when Jesus died on the cross on Friday, and they buried the lady's body in a tomb, you know, this is all man saw at that time. But Jesus, you see, Jesus the man had died on the cross. You see, Jesus was 100% man. He was also 100% God. Amen? He was not any less God when he was in human flesh, but he was also 100% man. And listen, you can kill man, but you can't kill God. And while they killed his body, he laid in the tomb. Jesus, the Son of God, had unfinished business to do. And Gospels don't tell us this story, but Apostle Paul explains it later in his writings. And he says, Jesus, when he died, his body was laid to rest, but his spirit, the God himself, he had unfinished business to do. He had unfinished business with the devil. And this is what I want to talk to you this morning about, what resurrection means for us. Because first thing, Jesus, what he did on the cross, he has defeated the devil. He has defeated the devil, and he has not only defeated the devil on the cross, he actually, the Bible says, Apostle Paul talks about that he descended into Hades. Okay? He went to the place where the devil dwells, and he put things in order. See, Bible says that this is what happened between Friday night and Sunday morning. He descended into hell, he disarmed Satan, he preached to the spirits, he took the keys of death and hell, he led captivity captive in resurrection. So he wasn't done. Okay? So this is what Apostle Paul says. The first thing that Jesus did, he defeated the devil, and he defeated him on the cross. The scripture I want to have for you there is the following. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15, Apostle Paul says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." See, what Jesus did, he didn't just defeat the devil on the cross. He came to see the defeated enemy. It's kind of like when you know, imagine a sports team, right? Let's say it's a football team, and they beat the opposing team so badly. I mean, you're talking about score of like 50-0. They're just absolutely beaten, but it wasn't stopped there. The winning team walks over to the locker room of the losing team and begins to taunt them. This is what Jesus did. Bible says that when he was killed, the laybody, he descended into Hades and he disarmed rulers and authority. Bible says he made public spectacle of them. And the picture Apostle Paul paints there is when in Roman Empire, when they would win some kind of war or conquest, the general would be marching into the city and the entire city would come and meet them and celebrate as those soldiers and general and in front of them was marching in. Behind them was slaves. It was famous warriors and kings and rulers. They were paraded in front of the entire city. It was people yelled and spit and threw stuff at them. They shamed them. It wasn't just a total annihilation victory. It was a public display. It was a public shaming. And that's what Jesus did. He came into hell and he paraded the devil and his minions and says, "I want you to see this. You're done. You're done. This is over." And you see, church, devil didn't expect that. I remember one pastor said, if devil would have known what Jesus died on the cross meant, he would have killed everybody who would try to kill Jesus. It was the greatest conspiracy, is that devil was blindsided. He did not see it coming. He took it out on Jesus. He overplayed his hand. And he lost very, very badly. And Jesus, the Bible says, he disarmed rulers and authority. What it means, church, is the following. It doesn't mean that we stop fighting. We still continue to fight. We were fighting a defeated foe. Amen? Now listen, my every basis for standing up against the power of the darkness is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the cross and resurrection. You see, when we stand, when we fight, we know how it ends. Listen, we know how it ends. We know that Jesus won. There is not even a hint of any doubt. It's over. Listen, it's over. And church, when you fight spiritual warfare, when you stand in your life and when you stand against the enemy, this is your stand. Devil, it's over. It's over. I know you probably don't remember the message, but this is over. And every basis for you, every victory in life is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has defeated the devil. He has disarmed the devil. He has shamed them publicly. So listen, so you and I can walk in victory. So you and I can walk in absolute victory. Listen, there is no more fear of the devil. He's done. He's done. Everything that just plays out, there is a plan of God, and enemy is still trying to somehow do something, but it's over. It was over on the cross. And church, it's actually really important here is that the resurrection power of Jesus was not available to Old Testament saints. Somebody was asking me, what's the difference between the Old Testament saints and New Testament believers? There's a great difference. And the difference was resurrection. Because see what Jesus did? He didn't only come and He disarmed the devil. The Bible says He took the host captive. And what it meant is the following, is that Old Testament saints who died following God, who died by faith, you see, they couldn't be in the presence of God at the time because Jesus is not resurrected yet. They're waiting in a place the Old Testament calls a Sheol or Hades. It's not hell as we know hell is going to be as a punishment. It was just a place where they were kept until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection had to happen. The power of God had to be released. Jesus had to be resurrected. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So everybody who was ever saved, even the Old Testament, they still were saved through Jesus Christ. And anybody who will ever be saved, only going to be saved only through Jesus Christ. But you see, up until Jesus died on the cross, they were being forgiven as if on credit. But it happened then. Jesus died. He paid. That debt was paid. And these people who died believing, following God in the Old Testament, all of a sudden, they were taken into the presence of God. And in fact, some of them, actually, Jesus, they're raised with Him, which was amazing. Matthew talks about that they raised and they walked Jerusalem. It's like Jesus kind of say, hey, a couple of you guys, you coming with me. Before you head out there, you coming with me. So Jesus defeated the devil. He took the Bible says He took the keys of death and hell. And it's no more held in the hands of the enemy. It's in the hands of Jesus. Listen, your life is not in the hands of the enemy. Your life is not in the hands of an accident. It's not in the hands of cancer. It's not in the hands of sickness. Your life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's the greatest victory. That, listen, I don't have to be afraid that if I'm going to drive home and car is going to hit me and I'm going to die. Listen, it's over. It's over. And that takes me to a second thought I want to share with you. Jesus defeated the devil. Secondly, He defeated death. Listen, by dying, He defeated death. And there's a scripture I want to share with you. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. It talks about Jesus Christ. It says, starting verse 5, "Have this mind among yourself which was in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, but taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess this Jesus is the Lord to the glory of the Father." And that scripture I want to have for you is the following, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. And I have a lot of scriptures for you this morning. It says the following, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus Himself likewise also partook of the same, that He through death, He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. You see, death is no longer an enemy. Death was defeated. You know what that means? That first of all, as a follower of God, as a child of Christ, we are not afraid to die. Apostle Paul put it this way, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It's as simple as that. You see, as a child of God, the minute you close your eyes on this side of eternity, your eyes are going to open. You know, first thing they're going to see? They're going to see the face of Jesus. That's all there is to us. For followers of Christ, that's all there is to death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. You go on a plane, he's scared of flying, who cares? It's just, there's nothing to be afraid of. Listen, there is nothing to be afraid of. Listen, if you're not afraid to die, you literally have nothing to be afraid of, amen? I mean, how are you going to scare somebody who's not scared to die? Like, what are you going to do to them? They're not afraid to die. And church, this is how we are supposed to live. Is that every fear and every thought, oh, this is not going to end up badly, it's defeated. Listen, Jesus defeated death. He has defeated death itself. And for a child of God, death is a pathway to see Jesus in the presence of God. It's not some kind of torture and mystery. You see, again, in the Old Testament, there was a mystery about dying. They knew there is this neither world. They knew there is this place where, you know, where followers of God go, but nobody came back from there to tell them about it. There were some Old Testament saints who were resurrected, but there was nobody who came and really saw what really it's like on the other side. There's only one who came back, is Jesus Christ. And when he came back, he said, listen, it's over. It's over. There is no more fear of death. And the lifelong bondage of being afraid to die is broken. You know what that means? That those people who are not afraid to die can really live. Amen? We can really live. We can really make a difference in the world because I'm not worried what's going to happen to me after I'm going to die. That's taken care of. So if your eternity is taken care of, you really can focus on making the difference on this side of eternity. You really can be an agent of life. And spread life everywhere you go. So when Jesus raised from the dead, He defeated death and He unleashed what the Bible calls resurrection power. And again, this resurrection power was not available at any time in history. It happened only after Jesus rose from the dead. And Apostle Paul says in Romans, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Romans 8 verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to immortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Is that the same power, the same Spirit who was involved in raising Jesus from the dead, the same power dwells on the inside of you. And listen, if that power was able to take the body of Jesus, which was dead for 3 days, and bring it back to life, guess what it can do to your life? You know what it means is that as a child of God, as a person in whom Spirit of God dwells, you get to speak life into dead things. God has given you power to speak life over dead things. And if you haven't tried it, I encourage you to try that. See, when I get it before God in prayer, and I begin to pray, and some things seem hopeless, some things seem dead, some things seem like they're never going to change, I get up and I begin to declare life over the deadness in my life. You see, that dream that God has given you a long time ago, you say, I'm too old, it's too far, I'm never going to do that again, begin to declare life over that. That prodigal son and daughter that you have in your life who has rebelled against God and seems like the more you pray, the farther they go away, you begin to declare life over their spirit. Because God has given you Spirit of God, which is Spirit of life. You see, when you get up and when your body is not feeling itself, when you feel sick, you get up and you begin to declare life. You begin to apply the Spirit of life over deadness in your body. And Spirit of God will release life, and Spirit of life will flow through that. Listen, You're disappointed in the person you're married to? Begin to declare life over them. Listen, if you're disappointed over your marriage, begin to declare life over it, because God can resurrect that in Jesus' name. Amen. God can bring life to that. If God could bring life to the body of Jesus, if the Spirit of God could raise the body of Jesus, He can raise your marriage. Or He can raise your marriage. He can raise it from the dead. He can raise that lost hope that you have, those lost dreams that are long gone and dead. You can speak life. You can declare life over them. And you can believe and agree with God to see life in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, your career is not dead when the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. Amen. Oh, I know you might have lost your job, but the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. So begin to declare in Jesus' name. You begin to declare over that empty bank account. You begin to release life. You begin to release life. And this is one of the most powerful prayers you can pray. And I try to be in the habit of doing that. When I pray over my family, I speak life over them. I release life over everything God has given me, over everything God has entrusted to me. I declare the life of God into them. Because the Spirit of God is able, Apostle Paul says, He will give life. Everywhere God goes, goes life. Everywhere the Spirit of God moves, there is life. Things begin to come up from the dead. Remember the story, Ezekiel chapter 37. God is speaking to Ezekiel, says, He showed him a vision of valley of dead bones, and He says, behold, those bones were very, very dry, meaning they lay there for a very long time. And God is asking questions, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? He says, God, You know. And God is telling Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I want you to declare life over the valley of these dead bones. Declare life. And the Bible says there's an amazing picture. It's actually a prophecy about Israel. Of Israel coming together in the end times. But it's also a picture of how God's Spirit works. And how Spirit of life is working. The Bible says as He began to prophesy, all of a sudden there was a loud noise and these bones began to come together. And all of a sudden the muscles and sinews began to grow over those bones. And the skin began to grow. And there, all of a sudden there was a valley filled with dead bodies. And God says, don't stop, keep speaking. He began to speak. Bible says, the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life. Spirit of God was breathed into them and says, behold, there was a mighty army of God because the Spirit of life came into that valley of dry bones. And listen, you can look over your life. You can look over your relationship. You can look over your career. You can look over whatever. You can say, it's surely dead. It looks dead, it feels dead, it's like the valley of dry bones is dead. It's hopeless. There is Spirit of life, man. There is Spirit of life. Begin to declare the Spirit of life over deadness in your life. And see God turn the thing around. This doesn't agree with the Spirit of life, amen? Jesus defeated the devil. He defeated death. A last thought I want to share with you. And I, for the lack of better word, I just kept it the way it is. I said, it goes like that. Jesus defeated defeat. Let me explain to you what I mean. Jesus defeated defeat. We read the scripture. Apostle Paul says that because Jesus, although He was God, He humbled Himself. He emptied Himself. The Bible says because of that, you see, Trinity, there is no hierarchy. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, they're eternally equal. It's one God in three persons. But the Bible says that Jesus humbled Himself. He made Himself lower. And because of that, God has exalted Him above every other name. And Apostle Paul says, so at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. You know what that means? Is that any brokenness, any defeat you had in your life is going to bow at the name of Jesus. That any problem and any stronghold and any battle devil tries to raise up against you, it has to bow at the name of Jesus. Any person who is persecuting you, who's trying to malign you, who's trying to stand against you, they will bow at the name of Jesus. God has given you authority to release victory over your life. So the defeat itself is going to be defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, my failure was defeated. My loss was redeemed. And everything that was broken, everything that was lost, everything that was stolen from me because of the resurrection power of Jesus, which is alive in me, is able to be redeemed and transformed by the power of Jesus' name. Amen? There is a parable Jesus said, and I heard this thought from one pastor, Chris Walton, actually, from Bethel Church. I wanted to share with you. There's a story of Jesus. He's talking about a parable. It says, unless the seed that's planted in the ground, unless it dies, it will bring no fruit. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Now listen, you know what that means? Is that sometimes things die in our life. Sometimes the relationship you worked very hard, it was beyond your control, it died. Sometimes that hope and the dream that you have, it dies. And you grieve over that. As believers, we still grieve over loss. We grieve over that. But there is a time that comes when you bring the loss before God and you say the following question: Jesus, where do you want me to plant that? Because my defeat and my loss and my deadness, it's not just eternally lost, it becomes a seed. Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you can plant that. And out of your loss, and out of your brokenness, and out of your sickness even, out of your failure, God can bring life. And what was lost and stolen and wasted can not only bring life, it can bring glory to God. God can redeem that. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that defeat itself is defeated. Is your defeat, when surrendered to God, yes, you grieved over it, you mourned over it, then you say, Jesus, where do you want me to plant this? And you plant it. And you allow Holy Spirit to redeem that. And you allow Holy Spirit to take that was lost and broken and wasted. And out of that can bring glory to God. That's what the Bible prophesied in the Old Testament, that God can bring beauty out of ashes. Amen? Instead of spirit of depression, there will be spirit of rejoicing. Instead of mourning and sackcloth, they'll be dancing and rejoicing. That's the redemptive power of Spirit of Life. So listen, this morning you might be here, you're mourning loss. You could be mourning something that died in your life, something that was very precious. You mourn, you pray, you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, where do you want me to plant that? Where do you want me to plant that? Because God can take your pain. God can take everything enemy has stolen from you and not just give it, not just return to you in many more ways. God can bring glory to God. You see, when we plant a seed of something in the ground, just one seed. But what grows up is not one seed, right? What grows up is it's a multiplication. And out of my loss, out of my failure, out of my sin that was forgiven, God can take that loss. God can take that deadness. He can plant it. And Spirit of Life could be released over it. And it's not only just going to bring back life. It's going to bring back life many times over. So the loss that you have, the gain is going to be many times over. Not according to your loss, but according to the power of God. According to the Spirit of Life. You see, your every failure, your every brokenness, your every mistake, your every sin can be redeemed in Jesus' name. Listen, you're not too far gone. You are not hopeless. Nobody is hopeless. As long as they're alive, listen, nobody is hopeless. Spirit of God is Spirit of Life. Amen? And listen, we're going to pray in just a moment. But we're going to pray the following. First, we're going to release life. We're going to release the life of Jesus over our soul, over our spirit, over our body, over our marriages, over our relationships, over our children, over our future, over our ministry. We're going to release the Spirit of Life. And some of you might need to come to God and say, God, I'm taking you this thing that was lost, this thing that was stolen from me, this thing that was robbed of, and I bring it before you and I say, God, plant it. Where do you want me to plant it? Where do you want to bring glory out of this loss? Glory out of this failure? Where do you want to bring glory out of this shame? And see what God's going to do with that. See how God can take your brokenness, your darkness, your failure, things you're ashamed to mention again. And when you surrender it to God, He will turn it around. Amen? He can turn it around. Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. Jesus, we thank you for resurrection. We thank you the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of life. We thank you, God, that we don't celebrate Easter as if we're taking a walk in a cemetery. God, we're celebrating Easter among the living, God, because you're alive. You're alive, God. Nobody came back but you, Jesus. Nobody came back but you, Jesus. There's no religious leader. There's no spiritual leader. There's no guru. There's no any type of expert who came back. But you did, Jesus. And Father, right now, we call upon the Spirit of life. And I pray right now the Spirit of Jesus will release life all over this room. God, over our lives, over our relationships, over our parenting, over our future, over our ministry, over our career, over our bodies that they're getting old. God, we release life. This morning we agree with the Spirit of life. This morning we take away our eyes from defeat and death and failure, and we turn our eyes to Jesus, who's life itself. He said to Mary, I am the resurrection and life, and whoever believes in me will never die. You are the resurrection and the life. And Jesus, right now, Father, we apply and I release the Spirit of life over every deadness in our life in Jesus' name. We prophesy. We release the word of life over deadness, over dead bones, God, over dead bones of broken relationship, over dead bones of strained relationship. We release, God, life of Jesus over our sick body in Jesus' name. We release Spirit of life right now. Over the dying or dead dream, we release Spirit of life right now in Jesus' name. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive in Jesus' name. Every deadness, we speak life over that, God. We speak life over every prodigal son and daughter, every prodigal spouse, every prodigal family member. Lord, we speak life right now in Jesus' name. Whatever they are, we declare life over them, God, in Jesus' name. Devil, you held them long enough. It's over. It's over. In Jesus' name, it's over. Life of God comes over them. And Jesus, we bring before you our losses and our failures and things we are robbed of and things we are wasted ourselves, God. And we mourned and we grieved, God. And we bring it before you, Jesus, and we want you to say, Jesus, plant that. And out of my loss and out of my failure, even out of my sin, out of my mistakes and out of my brokenness, resurrection power of Jesus can take that and turn it around. Jesus, you are the only one who can change history in Jesus' name. You're the only one who can take that was meant for evil and you can turn around for good, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. And we invite the resurrection power of Jesus over our soul, our body, and our spirit. We breathe in life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Christ is risen. Celebrate that. Stand on that. It's a foundation of your every victory. It's a foundation of your joy. And we have a lot to look forward to. Amen. We have coffee, refreshments. Stick around. God bless you and have a great day.